This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Happy summer solstice. Isn't it kind of nice that religion, at least Latter-day religion, hasn't managed to turn the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, into just another sham religious celebration? I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio, your weekly antidote to the religious right.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. Maybe the winter solstice being the darkest today is more appropriate for religion.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a nationwide group based in Madison, Wisconsin, which works to keep religion out of government and is the largest association of like-minded atheists and agnostics in North America.
This is the weekend of June the 18th, 2011, and this program originates from Madison, Wisconsin. Free Thought Radio also airs in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in Monterey, in New York City, if you're a very early riser, if you want to get up at 5 a.m. in New York City, and of course the show podcasts all over the natural cosmos. And on today's show, we have two fascinating guests, two different kinds of artists. First, a Grammy Award-winning Christian songwriter and keyboard player who has become an agnostic, and then later in the show, the poet and the Darwin scholar and dedicated rationalist, Philip Appleman. Philip will join us in the second half of today's show to talk about his new collection called Prophetious Proverbs, a satirical look at the Bible.
And now we are delighted to have with us on the phone from Virginia, Joe Taylor, or known as Ojo Taylor. He is a recording artist and producer and founder, principal songwriter, producer, keyboard player for the seminal rock group called Undercover.
Now, there's not time to read his whole list of accomplishments here, but Joe Taylor is the founder, general manager of Brainstorm Artists International / Innocent Media. It's a production company and record label distributed by Sony Music and Word Records. Word Records is a Christian distributor in the United States and international distributors and licensees all over the world. As a performer, Joe toured the U.S., Canada, and Europe regularly. He headlined up to 250 concerts per year, including at the Cornerstone, Greenbelt, and Flevo festivals, the Pacific Amphitheater, Anaheim Convention Center, Disneyland, Six Flags, the Los Angeles Olympic Games, the Los Angeles Street Scene, National Youth Workers Conventions in L.A. and Atlanta. Joe has produced over 75 full-length recordings, including the debut by the Grammy Award-winning group Anointed, multiple Dove Award winners and Grammy nominees, and his recordings have produced dozens of Billboard Top 10 radio singles in various formats, including national number one and number two singles with his own group. Joe received an MBA from University of California in L.A. and an MM, Masters of Music, from California State University in Fullerton. He teaches the history of rock, artist management, songwriting, marketing of recorded music, and entrepreneurship in the music industry. Well, I'll stop reading there. It's too much to read. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Joe.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Great honor.
So you were known as Ojo, but what do you call Ojo, Joe, Joey, Joseph?
Oh, you know, call me Joe. Ojo appeared on a record in 1983, and I was stuck with it ever since. I don't even remember how it happened, but Joe's fine. And I'm tired from hearing all that, even.
So when you were with the group Underground, you were Ojo Taylor then, right?
Right.
And that that was a big Christian rock group then.
Yeah, we were, we came on the scene around 1980, just as the church was kind of getting used to guitars and long hair. We came along with, mohawks and tattoos and piercings and stuff, and set things on end again. But
I've seen some of the videos of that, and it looks like just a regular secular rock concert, but you have Christian lyrics. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we never intended. I didn't grow up inside a mainstream denominational church. I was born and raised Catholic. So, when I did have that born again experience, if you want to call it that, back in the 70s, it just seemed natural to us to take our music where people listen to music. So I didn't grow up through the denominational churches, and it just seemed to me that we go to nightclubs.
You and I were in the same area at the same time. I was doing Christian music, a little tamer. I did everything from the very limp. I played for Pat Boone, but I also played in some Christian rock groups from the really crazy Jim Bolden band. And you were in Southern California about the same time I was, and I don't think we ever met.
No, we probably were in parallel universes or something. We actually did play with Lori Boone, but that was in Holland. That's as close as we got to Pat.
Well, there's hundreds of those groups. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of those Christian groups at all levels going around. But
right.
you really made it big with your groups and having these number one singles and best-selling albums. So at an artistic craftsman level, I can say congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Although I don't know about a lyrical level, that's something different. But
well, you know, I get asked that question frequently. How do I feel now that I lost my faith, as they say? How do I feel about all the stuff that I wrote before? And, of course I cringe when I listen to it. At another level, I can say that, well, it's, you know, one more stepping stone to where I am now, and change it.
How did you get there? You started off Catholic, and you said you had a born-again experience. What happened?
Yeah, I did. You know, so I stopped practicing religion altogether when I turned 18, which I guess isn't that unusual. It just was disillusioned with the Catholic Church and so on. My uncle had invited me down to Chuck Smith's church, Calvary Chapel, where he said they were having rock bands on Saturday nights, and thought I should go because he knew I was a musician. So I went down, and I think I was overwhelmed culturally because there were kids my age. You know the whole story. They were dressed casually, and they did have a band on stage, and it just seemed like a good place for youth to congregate. So I resonated at that level. On another level, you know, there was no reason that I still believed that there was a God, and this seemed to all make sense at the time to a young, uneducated teenage boy. So I did. I went forward at an altar call and had that born-again experience, and almost immediately things started not making sense, and I started asking questions. I remember going up to Chuck Smith himself at one of his baptisms at the beach and saying, "Hey, Chuck, I read something in one of your books that said this, and I interpreted it to mean that. Why did you say this?" And you know, I kind of got a scowl from him. And in all fairness, he's probably just thinking the kid's a pain in the butt, you know. But, you know, to me, it was a legitimate question. I've been asking questions ever since.
And you played piano in the bands, right? Piano and keyboard.
Yeah, I was a keyboard player and main songwriter.
The main songwriter.
Right.
So you were asking questions, but how long were you in the Christian recording industry?
Our last record came out in 2001, and I got my job here at James Madison University in 2007. Between 2001 and 2007, I was working on that graduate degree in music. When I finally came here, I didn't know a soul in Virginia, and so I met this girl who was an atheist.
It's always a girl, isn't it?
It is, you know, it's the Samson and Delilah thing from another angle. But she was an atheist, and I asked her out, and she said, you know, if you're going to tell me that there's a hell or try to save me from hell, or even if you believe in hell, I'm not going to go out with you. and it really, I didn't sell my soul to the idea of going out with her, but it made me think. I hadn't believed in a fire and brimstone hell in some years, and just her asking the question finally brought decades of questions crumbling down all around me, and I woke up and just said, you know what, I just don't believe any of that stuff.
Well, so we just kind of heard from you via your posting what we're calling these virtual billboards as part of FFRF's Out of the Closet campaign.
Should I read
for
it?
Freethinkers? Yeah, would it be all right if we read the top one, Dan?
Oh, here's one that you submitted. Without religion, there's a nice picture of you standing by the piano. Without religion, things make more sense to me. I am more alive, more connected. I do not worry, nor do I fear. Oh, Joe Taylor, former Christian recording artist and producer, out of the closet, agnostic.
So, yeah. So that was really cool. So you want to be out of the closet?
Yeah, well, I'm out of the closet. I came out officially, I guess, in September, where when a Christian music magazine asked me what I was believing these days, and I told them. And I even identified myself as an agnostic. I think I held nothing back. I don't feel at all beholden to the church or to religion at all, and I do feel much freer. I was just reading an article today by another woman that's on your FFRF list of staff picks, Greta Christian. Is that her name, Christina?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she had an article about, you know, atheists having better sex, and just because they the guilt factor is not there. So it's true. In so many ways, I feel so much freer and more alive, and it's just overall, it does make more sense, and it's a better life.
Shall we listen to a little bit of your former music before we take the break here?
Well, sure.
There's a tune you wrote that "Come Away With Me" was popular. Was it like at the top of the charts?
It was a number two song back in the mid 1980s, and it was actually written. You know, so much of what we believe is attributed falsely or incorrectly, I believe, to God or some God ideal. But this one was just a cry out to a friend of mine who was going through a hard time and born out of a desire to help her. So, yeah, Come Away With Me.
This is about 1 minute of the song Come Away With Me by Ojo Taylor.
I was hoping I would hear you call my name. The power of the ocean and the mighty wind and rain mean nothing to me now as I look down and see the lonely tears of pain. Can you hear me now? Can you hear the words I whisper?
I can see what you're doing there with those chords. That's very calculated to tug the heartstrings.
Absolutely.
It's actually musically quite effective how you do that. Well, we're talking with Ojo, or Joe Taylor, who is a former Christian recording artist and songwriter and piano player, about his, I guess, not a loss of faith, but his discovery of free thought and freedom to think for himself. You're listening to Free Thought Radio. I am Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back after this break.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Just before I leave, stand me a million questions.
And that is the hit song, the hit Christian song, The Eyes of Love, written and played by our guest, Joe Taylor, whom we've been talking to about his career and his switch from Christian musician to secular. Now, you wanted to correct me, Joe, about something I just said before the break.
Yeah, well, I think you had said that I was agnostic or something about having not lost my faith, but I think I can, in an unqualified way, say that I've pretty much lost my faith.
Well, there you go.
There's not much of it left.
You saw the light.
And, you were saying that during the break that so much that we attribute these feelings that music evoke, or we attribute this to a deity or spirituality or a belief in a God, and it's just a human experience.
Right. That's the way I see it. Love is, the Christians wanted to lay claim to things like love and compassion, and that those are human experiences, not Christian experiences. And I think we did the same thing in our music, too.
And we all feel that, no matter who you are, secular or not. We enjoy Handel's Messiah, even though we don't believe in the Messiah.
Well,
absolutely.
Now, so you have come out of the closet, but just very recently. Do you get reaction from the former colleagues that in your Christian music industry?
Constantly, and some of them are great reactions. You know, people saying, "Gosh, I've had the same doubts," and so we get nice conversations. Others are quite judgmental, and this has played out mostly on Facebook and in personal dialogues also. But I'm true to what I don't believe, and what I yeah. what I think, and what I believe, the need for reason and evidence, and in filtering out all the religious stuff. So there are great dialogues, all of them.
It sounds like you might have a book there.
Well, we're working on it, and in fact, I'm doing an academic book called Philosophy of Punk, but it's not related to Christianity. But many people have asked me to put the story in writing, so we'll see where that goes.
I remember a day when the phrase Christian rock was an oxymoron back in the 60s, you know, when rock hit. The churches were kind of slow because rock was very, you can listen to it, it's very rebellious, and this the hippies and the pot smokers and the sexual freedom. And so why bring that into the church? And yet, of course, the church wants to attract young people, and that's how you get them.
Yeah, and the pastors are doing all that stuff anyway. They're just doing it behind the curtains.
Put that in your book.
Now, you put up a cyberboard at FFRF.org under this OUT campaign, a second one that you said, we call it a cyberboard, a virtual billboard. Christian, send me your money, Luke 6:30.
Right.
So what's that about?
Well, this came from, a thread where someone had put up something condemning gays based on a verse in Romans 1, and I put up a comment saying something like, none of you believe biblical authority anyway, so why are you going to take the one mention of homosexuality in the New Testament and use that to harm people? And as an example, I quoted Luke 6:30, which says, give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. So if you're going to believe the Bible literally, sure, go ahead and send me your money. A cashier's check would be great. Send it to my attention at James Madison University. All your money. And I'll make a donation to the Lambda Legal Fund, or in this case, Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Well, thank
I'd be glad
you.
To sign it over. You know.
Thank you so much.
But that was the point, you know, that we can't take this stuff literally. It's crazy.
We are talking with Joe Taylor. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. And really enjoyed meeting you. And we'll be hearing more about you, I'm sure. And coming
Thank you
up
so much.
Is Phil Appleman, the poet, and we'll be talking about perfidious proverbs, the Bible for grown-ups, what's wrong with the Bible, a searing, sarcastic look at religion.
Hi, I'm Russ Bates, and from Bowling Green, Ohio, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
When they hunger and thirst, and I send down a famine. When they pray for the sun, and I drown them with rain. And they beg me for reasons, my only reply is, I never apologize, never explain. When the angel of death is a black wind around them, and children are dying in terrible pain, then they burn little candles in churches, but still I never apologize, never explain.
It is a poem by Philip Appleman called God's Grandeur, and maybe we'll hear a little bit more of the rest of that poem. I'm Dan Barker.
With Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And this is Free Thought Radio, and we have on the phone with us from East Hampton, Philip Appleman. Philip Appleman is the author of 8 previous volumes of poetry, including New and Selected Poems, 1956 through 1996. He's written 3 novels. One of them was called Apes and Angels. And he's written 6 nonfiction books, including the widely used and widely acclaimed Norton Critical Edition of Darwin. Phil's poetry has won many awards, including the Friend of Darwin Award from the National Center for Science Education and the Humanist Arts Award of the American Humanist Association. And he's appeared in scores of publications, including Harper's Magazine, Nation, New Republic, The New York Times, Paris Review, Poetry, Sewanee Review, and Yale Review. Phil and his wife Margie are lifetime members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. So welcome to Free Thought Radio again, Phil.
Hi, Dan and Lori. Good to be talking to you.
Yeah, it's been too long. Now, I wanted to say that we also, you will be familiar to readers of Free Thought today because you have a regular poetry section called Heads Up in Free Thought Today, which comes out 10 times a year. And some of the poems that are in this new collection, Perfidious Proverbs, first appeared in Free Thought Today.
That's right.
And I didn't mention in the introduction that we're here to talk about your brand new book, which isn't quite out yet. It should be out in a couple of weeks. It's called Perfidious Proverbs and Other Poems, A Satirical Look at the Bible. So tell us about that book.
Well, I've been a poet all my life, and I've been a free thinker almost all my life, and when those two things get together, you write free thought poems. It occurred to me rather recently that I had done so much of that, that it might be a good idea to bring them all together, and under the title of The Bible Retold for Grown-Ups, but it ended up being called Perfidious Proverbs, and with the subtitle, A Satirical Look at the Bible. I emphasize the satire part of it because the rationale for the book is that whereas some people are unapproachable by logic and reason and so on, sometimes you can approach them by poking fun at them or either laughing at them or in some way satirizing their beliefs. So that's what all the poems in this book are. They're brought together out of many other books from the past, and they make a kind of an instructional manual of its own.
Some of the titles here are, there's a section called The Creator, and you have a poem called Days 1 through 6, etc., a poem called On the Seventh Day, and, of course, God's Grandeur, which is all from the point of view of the supposed creator of the Bible. And another thing you do in here, which I really like, is besides the satire and besides the criticism, is you do a very subtle, what's the word for it, a shifting of a point of view. Instead of looking at what the Bible says, you get behind the curtain, like pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, and you let those Bible characters speak for themselves in a surprising way, which is very very artistic how you do that.
Well, they
They make good stories, and the dramatic monologue is a great technique for retelling their stories. You know, to let them tell their stories. After all, as you point out, Dan, the Bible is all fiction anyway. So let's continue the fiction here.
No, yeah. I think that you selected a light verse first to read for us.
Well, I thought I'd read Fleas, which Dan is already has on one of his CDs, but it'd be a good one to start because it pokes fun at the Bible sort of tangentially by poking fun at Joyce Kilmer's bit of piety called Trees. And it starts out with an epigraph from Isaiah 45:7, in which God gets the first word. He says, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." I think that I shall never see a poem as ugly as a flea whose hungry mouth is pressed against a buttock or a breast, a flea that spreads disease all day and lifts its little claws to prey. Poems are made by you and me, but only God can make a flea. I think that no one ever made a poem as powerful as AIDS or plagues that may in summer kill half the bishops in Brazil and share the good Lord's final answer with clots and cholera and cancer. For God concocted pox to mock us, staph and syph and streptococcus. Poems are made by bards or hacks, but only God makes cardiacs. I think that I shall never smell a poem as pungent as a hell, where grinning devils turn the screws on saintly Sikhs and upright Jews, giving them the holy scorcher, timeless, transcendental torture. Poems can make you want to yell, but only God can give you hell.
Bravo,
well, it's
bravo.
A classic.
Well, I can hear the music. I think that I shall never see.
Right, yeah.
And that song, by the way, is available on the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Beware of Dogma album. That line, "For God concocted pox to mock us, staph and syph and streptococcus." I mean, there's something just so poetic and unexpected and fun about that line. And yet, what you're talking about.
It's a God-given line, Dan.
It was a God-given line. Yes, you were inspired to write.
Now, I think you said to balance this, you have a more serious poem. What would that one be?
The next poem in the book, right en face to that one, is called "Last Minute Message for a Time Capsule." I wrote this when we were living on the ocean. And it goes like this. "I have to tell you this, whoever you are, that on one summer morning here, the ocean pounded in on tumble-down breakers. A south wind bustling along the shore whipped the froth into little rainbows, and a reckless gull swept down the beach as if to fly where everything it needed. I thought of your hovering saucers looking for clues, and I wanted to write this down so it wouldn't be lost forever. That once upon a time we had meadows here, and astonishing things, swans and frogs and luna moths and blue skies that could stagger your heart. We could have had them still and welcomed you to earth, but we also had the righteous ones who worshipped the true faith and holy war. When you go home to your shining galaxy, say that what you learned from this dead and barren place is to beware the righteous ones."
Beware the righteous ones. That should be a new bumper sticker or a billboard, huh?
Yeah.
Phil, what I do love your mastery, your genius with words and with poetry, but you do something that very few people that I've seen do, and that you integrate science, your knowledge of science and your knowledge of Darwin, and how you bring in the natural world in such a natural way into your poetry that you're almost getting a fun science lesson as well by reading your poems.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of my book called Darwin's Ark, that if you look at the Bible stories, for instance, from a scientific point of view, you realize that you need to take a different tack. The the Noah poem in the new book is one of those dramatic models. Well, it's not a dramatic model. The Noah poem is the direct descendant of Darwin's.
Well,
art.
Listen, I think that we should play. We have an excerpt. I mean, the whole poem.
It's 14 minutes.
You've recorded it with your wife, Margie. It takes 14 minutes, but we do have about a 3-minute excerpt. Why don't we?
Or less than that, about a minute and a half.
Oh, a minute and a half. Why don't we go right to that?
Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that there's a space problem here? A boat only 450 feet long. And wouldn't you know, it's Japheth who opens up, so to speak, the can of worms.
Dad, there are thousands of species of worms. Who's going digging for them? And, oh yes, how about the insects?
Shem rebels at last.
Insects? Dad, do we have to save insects?
Noah, faithful servant, quotes the word.
Every living thing. So far, we've got dragonflies, damselflies, locusts and aphids, grasshoppers, mantises, crickets, and termites. Wait a minute. Termites? We're going to save termites in a wooden boat?
But Japheth knows that arguing with Noah is like driving a nail into chicken soup. He shrugs and carries on.
Dad, we haven't even scratched the surface. Even if we unload all the other animals, the insects alone will sink the ark.
That's just a little teaser of a reading by Philip Appleman with his wife Marjorie Appleman from his great poem, Fleas, telling...
Noah, the poem Noah.
I'm sorry. Noah, retelling the story of Noah. And we are talking with poet and author Philip Appleman on the phone with us. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We will be right back to talk about why Phil calls Proverbs so perfidious.
Perfidious Proverbs.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we have on the phone with us from New York State, poet laureate of Free Thought and Humanism, Philip Appleman. And Philip, you have a new book just coming out, another book of poems, Perfidious Proverbs, a satirical look at the Bible. And I think it's just so remarkable, your output. I mean, you are an octogenarian and you have so much to say and say it so brilliantly and passionately, and we're so glad you do.
Well, but thank you, Annie.
I have been amazed at all the new poetry from you and the new books. And so I think that what we wanted you to do was at least get in the title poem, Perfidious Proverbs.
That'd be nice for you. I'll read it. I'll read it now. Parable of the Perfidious Proverbs. The poem starts out with a proverb, and then each proverb is followed by a kind of commentary. The first one is, how better it is to get wisdom than gold. Money buys prophets and teachers, poems and art. So listen, if you're so rich, why aren't you smart? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That line gives you a perfect way of testing your inner feelings about child molesting. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. But here at the parish, we don't find it overly hard to accept his dirty cash or credit card. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That's just why the good Lord made it mandatory to eat your heart out down in purgatory. Wisdom is better than rubies. Among the jeweled bishops and other boobies, it's also a whole lot rarer than rubies. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Trusting your heart may not be awfully bright, but trusting proverbs is an idiot's delight.
Trusting proverbs is an idiot's delight. And the name of your book, the name of Philip Appleman's book, is Perfidious Proverbs. So tell us about the wonderful, brilliant foreword to your new book.
I love that foreword written by the great Dan Barker.
Oh!
Writes everything well. And I do thank you for that, Dan. It's and I will thank Annie Laurie again for her quote, which I was grateful to use. I'm getting static here.
Yes, we'll just have to talk louder. We don't know why. But you have, for example, an endorsement from another great poet, Katha Pollitt. And she said, "I love Philip Appleman's witty and passionate takedowns of religion, God, and the nature that dooms us all, especially his updates on the Bible. If only he had been in on writing the original." Cute line.
Yeah, because it's all fictional anyway, and a lot of the Bible is attempted to be poetic, so why would you be less qualified to throw in your hat? Well, it looks like we have some bad weather interfering with the phone reception. The line is very staticky there. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit trying to interfere.
He's been doing a lot of damage around here lately.
So you were going to read my favorite poem, but maybe what we should do is say goodbye to you now and thank you for being on the show, and then I'll just read the poem myself. Does that work?
Sure, that'd be fine, Dan.
You will trust me
I'll be glad to listen to it when you get the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
We're talking with Philip Appleman, the renowned freethought poet and Darwin scholar, about his new book called Perfidious Proverbs. And he wanted to read what I consider my favorite poem in the book called Gathering at the River, which is on page 125. And I'll do that now because it sounds better than the static on his phone. This is called Gathering at the River. Is it crossing over Jordan to a city of light? Archangels ceaselessly trumpeting over the heavenly choirs, perpetual Vivaldi, jasper, and endless topaz and amethyst, the Sistine ceiling 7 days a week, the everlasting smirk of perfection? Is it the river Styx, darkness made visible, fire that never stops, endless murder too merciless to kill, massacres on an endless loop, the same old victims always coming back for more? Or is it the silky muck of Wabash and Maumee, the skir and skim of blackbirds, fields of Queen Anne's lace and bumblebees? Well, go out once more and feel the crumble of dry loam, fingers and soil slowly becoming the same truth. There, in the hand, is our kinship with oak, our bloodline to cattle. Imagine not eons of boredom or pain, but honest earth to earth. And when our bodies rise again, they will be wildflowers, then rabbits, then wolves, singing a perfect love to the beautiful, meaningless moon.
So that was what
Philip Appleman's
poem. And we're awfully sorry we had to get him off the line because of static. And but his new book is coming out in July, Perfidious Proverbs and Other Poems: A Satirical Look at the Bible. If you are a reader of Free Thought Today, some of these you have read for the first time on our pages, and it is a beautiful collection Tom Flynn, who's the editor of Free Inquiry, said that the punchlines never stop coming. I said this remarkable, irreverent work should be required reading in all churches. It has the publisher of Skeptic Magazine, Michael Shermer, saying, think of this as the Bible retold for grown-ups and enjoy the journey again for the first time. There is nobody like Philip Appleman for personifying either the deity or personifying the characters in the Bible and letting them retell the Bible in a way that completely demolishes it.
And in my foreword to the book, I say, toss the Gideon Bibles out of the hotel rooms and replace them with this book.
And most of, I'd say, the poems and rhymes are actually very, very funny. We ended with a heavier one, but it will make you laugh out loud. And how many books of poetry do that? So we thank Philip Appleman for joining us, and sorry about that weather, but you can read his poems regularly in the pages of Free Thought Today. You can order his books through fffrf.org, several books of poetry, The Darwin Norton Critical Condition, and get acquainted with this very genius poet.
And if you want to hear that Noah poem, you can hear it on our CD, Beware of Dogma. So thank you, Phil, and thank you, Brian Tarani, as always, does a great job of engineering and producing Free Thought Radio. At ffrf.org/radio, you can get archives and sign up for the podcast.
As always, you can ask for information at ffrf.org, phone 1-800-335-4021, but don't just ask for information, join us. If you've been listening for 1 year or 5 years, you know what we're about, and we could use your help. So visit us at ffrf.org. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.